You're listening to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast, where you'll hear interviews, advice, and tips, and encouraging words just for the homeschooling mom. We're moms of faith helping other moms to homeschool with joy. This is episode 51. Hi, and welcome to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast. I am Demetria, your host. I'm so excited on this episode because we're getting the opportunity to chat with Devin Dabney, and I'm going to introduce him a little bit later. But first, I also have some quick announcements to make. And so one of the first things I want to share with you is our winner of the Scripture Lullabies CD giveaway. We have two winners, and it was really exciting to give this away because, like I said, I really enjoy this CD series. My kids have been loving the lullaby CDs every night. And so I'm really happy to announce our two winners are Danielle M. and Coley R. And those winners have been announced on the website christianhomeschoolmoms.com under the Hidden in My Heart Scripture Lullaby CD giveaway. So congrats to our winners. I've already contacted both of you, and you will be receiving your either digital or CD copy according to your preference pretty soon. So my next announcement is we have a new blog post that went up by our guest writer, and she writes about making Christmas memorable for your child with special needs. I may have already brought this up in our last podcast episode. I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not, but just in case I didn't, I would like for you to take some time, especially if you have a child with special needs, to come on over to this blog post, check it out, read through it, and glean from the encouragement that Gabriella offers us here. And it's a really wonderful post about a couple of ways that you can make it special, make the holiday special for your child. So I think these are some great tips. So head on over and see what Gabriella has to offer us. Additionally, I wrote a blog post about my updates in my own homeschool, what we've been doing with our sunlight. So if you're new to the podcast, quite a few months ago, I interviewed Sarita Holtzman, who is the founder of Sunlight. And since then, I have been using Sunlight, and we're using Core F for my sixth grade daughter. And as of recently, if you have been following my videos over at my homeschool channel on YouTube, which is Christian Homeschool Moms, you can find me there. You'll see that we ran across this awesome sale where I found all of the Sunlight cores and was able to get all of it for a really fabulous amount. And I'm sharing that on my videos. So if you come on over to christianhomeschoolmoms.com, and my latest blog post about that is December 11th. I posted our Sunlight Core F week 14 update and book haul. So if you read that, you'll see what happened. You'll get to watch the video and see what I was able to get at a great bargain. So I happen to now have the kindergarten and first grade and second grade and all the grade levels and cores instructor guides for most all of the grade levels. And these are older versions of the Sunlight, but you know, I still like it. So I still think it's really similar. And, you know, with some tweaking, I can really make it work for our family. So I'm really excited about just having my hands on those instructor's guides. And so that's just really, really exciting for me. So we will actually, we've already started using some of the material a few weeks ago. And we've been enjoying the a lot of the reader selections for the core A, or I believe it's for kindergarten. So we've been enjoying that. So if you want to see what we've been up to personally, you can read that blog post and find out. So that about wraps things up before the interview, and we'll get straight into the interview with Devin. And just to let you know, on our next episode is going to be more of a special Christmas edition. I did that last year when we had our first Christmas episode. And I really enjoy doing that. So I just want to take some time and just talk with you all and encourage you and give you a special word, I guess, for the holidays and for your homeschooling. So for now, we're going to get into our interview with Devin Dabney, and stay tuned and see what types of resources he has to offer for you. And some of this may be time sensitive because of the holidays. So stay tuned, really listen in and see what Devin has to offer.
Hello and welcome to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast. I'm Demetria, your host. And on this episode, we have a special guest with us today. His name is Devin Dabney, and he's been happily married to his wife, Shayla, for nearly 9 years. They're blessed to have five beautiful children. He's a homeschooling dad, author of the book Creating a Household Technology Plan. He's a speaker, and he runs a podcast called Connected Homeschooling. He also writes and speaks about a variety of topics, including family life, homeschooling, technology, and entrepreneurship at devindabney.com. Devin does so much more, though, and we're going to find out more about him here on this podcast episode today. So, Devin, thank you so much for being on my podcast today. It's really great to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm really delighted to be on your show.
Awesome. Now, the reason I wanted you on the show today is because you stand out as a leader in the home education community, and I think you can definitely give us some idea of the fatherhood perspective in homeschooling. And you're also a committed believer, from what I understand. And after listening to your shows, I like that you started off by asking your guests to give one of their favorite passages of Scripture. So first off, will you tell us what your favorite Scripture is?
Well, yes, it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And it says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And really, that just stands out. It's actually a scripture that my wife and I really like a lot, because truly God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And it just seems that if we were so strong and we had such great ability, it would really be hard for people to recognize God's strength in our lives. And if everything always went perfect for us, it would just be hard for His strength to shine through. And so that's really a scripture that we both stand by and love.
Right. I love that scripture, and it just reminds us of how much we need the power of God in our lives, and that He alone is going to help us get through those tough times, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So that's a great scripture to rely on and just fall back on in those times when we need that. So, you know, tell us about your journey into home education. I'm always interested in knowing how different families have gotten started with homeschooling. So how did it begin with you, and how did you get where you are today?
Well, I come from a long line of educators. Both my mother and father have backgrounds in education, and though my dad wasn't a classroom teacher, he still always had a passion for education and for learning. And both of them actually have master's degrees, and my mom actually taught high school algebra for 33 years. And I always tell people that growing up, a lot of times before I could go outside and play or do different things around the house, my mom always had worksheets, and she'd ask us to, my younger brother and I, to go out and do the worksheets before we could go outside and play. And just something that she always had educational materials around the house, whether it was some books or workbooks or worksheets. And I would just go ahead and do it to get it out of the way. And even with us having our own children now, if they go to my parents' home, it's not uncommon for them to grab a workbook and read to their grandparents or work out a few math problems or just do different things along those lines. And then a lot of it's the same way with my wife's family, just people who are passionate about learning and education. And so when we got married, my wife was actually, she was actually still in college. We met in college, and during the time when she graduated from college, she was 7 months pregnant. And we really just didn't think there was going to be any option as far as her going to get a job or anything. So when we had our baby, my wife was at home with the child. And just over time, as our daughter was getting a little bit older, we just both had this passion that we would, of course, read to our children as we had children. I just teach them the different things that we knew, whether it was music or with scripture, just whatever we knew we wanted to pass it on to our children. And so starting around age two, my wife started to just work with our child and do colors and numbers and just some of the basics to teach our child at home. And then over time, we started to meet some people who said that they homeschooled. And we didn't really know much about homeschooling. It wasn't something that was common in our circles. And then my wife had the question, is this even legal that you can educate your children at home? And, of course, we found out that it was legal, and it was something that we can continue to do because by the time our child was four, she still would have had to wait in order to go to kindergarten just because of her age and her birthday being later in the year. And so we said, well, let's just continue what we're doing. And now that at that point we had, I think, two children, two daughters, and when we had a four-year-old learning a lot, the two-year-old behind her was learning a lot from her. And and we just started to see this trend. Yeah, they're just picking up from each other and picking up from us. Let's keep it going. And so we started and just have never stopped.
Awesome. It sounds like a natural progression from growing up with the environment that your mom always placed the worksheets there in front of you and gave you a little extra. And from there, just you and your wife understanding how you wanted your children to just glean from your own passions and things that you do that you love and passing that on to your children and teaching them and continuing. It's like, why fix something that's not broken? It's working, so let's continue. So that's great. I always love to hear about how people begin homeschooling because so many different families have different reasons that they begin. So it's always inspiring to hear how people got started. So on that note, what would you consider your family style of education, your philosophy or method?
Well, with us, I think our philosophy towards education is that it should be continuous, and it's not something that we just turn on during school time and then decide, okay, now our learning is over with, or our education time is over with. It's something that our entire family embraces, just like us doing this podcast right now. That's one of the ways that I continually learn, and I listen to podcasts on a variety of different things, whether it's homeschooling or ministry or entrepreneurship. I've learned about so many different things, and it's just been a passion of mine to keep learning, and then we instill that in our children as well. And even with my wife, she's such a resource in our home and for other moms and for even people that are older than us. And it's because she's always passionate about learning. How can she do homemaking better? How can she learn from people who are blogging or just learn from people who've been there and done that? And then we just receive and then we pass it on to other people. So that's what we pass down to our children. And I think that's kind of our method. It's composed of a few different things. We do some online homeschooling. We do some with books or workbooks. But overall, our key is to encourage our children to continually learn and to look for educational opportunities wherever they may show up. It may be in the grocery store. It may be at church or at homeschool, co-op, wherever it is, we have to look for opportunities to learn.
That's good. The fact that learning is a lifelong process, it never ends, and that you're not shifting everything into one box and one particular style or method, that it's just a process and that your kids learn wherever they are. Life is, that learning is life. And so that's a really great way to look at education. It's one of the benefits we have as homeschoolers is that we can view education that way, and that's very makes it flexible for us. So do you have any particular curriculum, though, or resources that you and your wife really enjoy showing your children and or teaching them from?
Well, we've used Abeka some for some of the lessons, especially first starting out and just wanting more structure. We've also done Saxon for math. And lately, we've really embraced, with me being such a techie, and then my wife just embracing technology more and more over time, being married to me, we've embraced more of the online programs. We've done Time for Learning and given the kids opportunities to log in there, and we look at it as an investment where they can track some of the things they're doing, and they can do some self-directed learning there. We just give them the lesson numbers that we want them to do, especially our oldest two being 8 and 6 at this point. And they can sit and do the lessons, and we can watch them and just make sure they're doing what they're supposed to. But they do that. They've also done, I believe, Mobi Math. And recently with my oldest son, he's 4, I've actually started with Easy Peasy Homeschool. And I actually found out about that, I guess, earlier this year, and I had the opportunity to interview Lee Giles, who started that site, and it really just gave me even more of a passion or a desire to use that, especially with my younger children, as a way to just get them started with homeschooling.
Right. I love that there's so many options and so many free available online options as well. And Easy Peasy is definitely one of our favorites in our home. So we we enjoy that. And we love all the different types of online learning available. It makes homeschooling so flexible and so easy that we can mix and match these different programs to meet our kids' needs for those stages in their lives, you know, as they get older and whatever works for that season of their life. So that's a great thing. Now I want to dig in more personally about your life. I hear that you are a worship leader at your church. So can you tell us which instruments you play and how you began leading worship?
Well, I've been a worship leader for about 15 years. I always started playing the piano around age 9. And before that, I knew that there was some type of musical talent. Even as a 2 or 3 year old, I'd have a little play keyboard and I'd try to play what I heard on TV. And so I really got more serious about it when I was around 9 or 10 and started taking music classes at my school. And just being around the church community with my parents and my family, I would always sing in the choir, and after a while I wanted to be able to play the songs that we were doing at church. And so after a while there were youth choirs, and I would have the opportunity to play at least once per month along with the choir and the music minister. And over time, with different transitions within the music department, I had the opportunity to play at that church, and really in a full-time, I guess you'd say, capacity, where I was there every Sunday and doing different events like funerals or weddings. And it was an opportunity for me to really grow, because I had that added pressure that I needed to actually know the song, to teach the song, sing parts, and do some of those things for not only the children but the adults. And so I did that from the time I was about 14 or 15 until I was 21. And then at that time I graduated from college and just wanted to step out a little bit deeper on my own. And so I transitioned to where I currently attend church, and my wife and I have served as worship leaders, and I had the opportunity to sing, and I play the piano and the organ. I've also done drums a little bit, though that's my younger brother's area, and ventured into teaching myself a little bit of guitar. I could probably do two or three songs on a guitar, but I wouldn't stand up before people and try to do a whole service. But it's been an interesting journey. I've taken a little break from leading worship as much. Mostly what I do now is I may lead worship at a special type of service or as a guest at church for someone who may need someone to fill in or just has heard me lead worship before and wants my family to come in as a person to just lead their congregation for whatever event. And so it's something I enjoy and I love to do.
Wow, that's really cool that you play all of these different instruments and that God has blessed you with this gift and you can pass this on to your kids. And so I find that awesome. I know in our home, we love worship and our home is filled with music and we play piano. My husband does guitar also, a little bit guitar and piano. So probably have that in common in our homes where there's always music. And that's a great thing to pass on to our children. But it looks like you've had a lot of experience playing in the church and for weddings and different events and pretty much full-time a good bit of your life.
Yeah, and it's something that I've seen in our children as well from an early age. Each one of them, I mean, we can have a song playing and you see them either tapping their fans or their feet and just I don't know, even my youngest one now is 14 months, and he's got to be a drummer because you just see him tapping with both of his hands, and it looks like he's playing the drums, and you can tell that he has that rhythm built in him from birth. They'll definitely pick up on it all. They all, even singing, we performed at our family reunions at church service, so they're eager to do the same thing.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys integrate kind of your love for music with your children's upbringing. They're also a part of that.
They realize it's something that's important to us, and even other families at church have made comments before about that because generally we'll keep our children in the service with us, and even the one that's 14 months now, I can have him in a little stroller, and I mean the minute the worship starts, they're doing a praise song, and it's up tempo. You can just see him almost trying to jump out of his stroller. He's clapping and smiling, and he's really excited about it.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love when the kids, they pick up on the passion of mom and dad and the just the beautiful environment and anointed worship that they're a part of because mom and dad is bringing them to that environment, and they soak that in, and that's just beautiful to see children soak that in and just react to that and love it. So that's just beautiful, and that's very encouraging for us to hear that, just to know as homeschooled parents that whatever we're modeling for our children, they're picking up on it very quickly, and we pass on so much to them. So that's good. Now I'm going to jump into more of your professional world and some things that you're doing on your website and some books that you've written. And so you've written a book called 20 Ways to Earn an Extra $1,000 for the Holidays. Now, I want to know about this book. It's got a great catchy title, and I think everyone wants to know how to earn an extra $1,000.
Well, that idea came to me one day. Usually I'm an ideas person. I'll have 20 a day if I'm not careful. But I really thought this would be something that would be helpful to people during the holiday season. Because I know that often Christmas can bring stress to people and they feel a lot of pressure to buy gifts or just spend a lot of money. And it's not my philosophy to just go into debt for a particular season of the year and then end up paying for it the rest of the year. And so I said, well, generally people would be in good shape if they were able to have an extra $1,000 or something on hand. I think they would be able to do well with Christmas shopping or just having some extra money at that time of the year. Sometimes you want to do things with family or friends, and we're the type of people that love to entertain couples and families in our home, whether it's just cooking for them and saying, hey, come over and just grab a meal and let's fellowship together. And so I thought it would help greatly with things like that. And even if you wanted to bless someone with something at this time of the year, $1,000 would be great. And so I just thought of some things that I've done in the past to generate extra income, whether it was online or offline, and I compiled some of that together. And it really was something that I believe I was just on fire when I got the idea. And I actually went from the idea to the book being released, or well, having the first draft in 3 days. And,
oh, wow.
And I spent a lot of time just writing. I actually recorded myself just speaking the chapters, and then I typed it up on the second and third day. And then I had a team of people who volunteered to edit it for me. And it brings out some really nice ideas. I'll give away some of them. One may be doing yard work for people. There are a lot of people who have guests over at their homes during the holiday, and they may not feel like it or may not have the time to do yard work. Another one is maybe selling baked goods. We know people that do pies and cakes, and they can sell them during this time of the year. Even my wife is doing some of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very practical, and there's some simple ideas that people can do to generate some money. And like I've said, even if you tried to implement one or a couple of these ideas, and let's say it generated you an extra $800, I don't think you'd be mad at me if you didn't reach the $1,000 goal and you fell a couple hundred short. It's something that I've gotten feedback on, and people said, hey, it's an easy read. It's something that I can go through, and it kind of lights the fire under people that, hey, I can pull this off. I'm willing to do some extra work and get it done.
Right. I love that. Everybody needs an extra couple of $100,000. I mean, it all helps. Every extra buck helps, especially during holiday season. And like you said, going into debt is definitely not the way to go over the holidays. And there's a lot of extra added pressure on parents, gift giving, and that kind of thing. So I think this is a great book. It's very timely now that we're getting close to the Christmas holidays. So that's a great book for everyone to check out. It's called 20 Ways to Earn an Extra $1,000 for the Holidays. And you've also written a book called Creating a Household Technology Plan. So can you tell me about what inspired you to write this book and why that topic is so important to you?
Well, this was actually my first book. And during my graduate studies, I have a master's degree in educational technology. And so it kind of merged my love for technology. My full-time job is as a technology analyst. And merged that passion along with my passion for education. And one of our assignments was to develop a technology plan for an imaginary school district or even a school. And we had to look at some of the elements that were needed. I actually found out that in order to receive some of the federal funding, that the real school districts have to submit a technology plan in order to get the money. So during my research for that, I thought about it and I said, well, it would be good for families, especially just thinking along the lines of homeschoolers, it would be good for them to have a technology plan and just bring everyone on the same page to decide what technology is going to do in terms of its effect on our families, and also just to get some rules and guidelines established and to set some goals for technology. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people don't decide when they're going to upgrade their equipment or make a wish list of what equipment they actually want to buy during the course of the next year or 2 years. And this is a book that walks them through the process of deciding different elements, and I use an acrostic, which is the word picture, and for each of those seven letters, there's a word or a phrase that walks you through creating the plan, and once you have the plan created, hopefully in a digital format, then it's something that you revisit from time to time, and then just make updates as you acquire different things, or maybe as your children, it's one thing to have rules for when your children are 5 and 6, and it's another thing for when they're 15 and 16, so you'd want to update some of those things, just maybe have different elements of the plan where they're visible and everyone knows these are the places where we can use technology, and these are the times when you can use it, and just all those different things that there's no question of this is how technology affects our home.
Right. What I'm hearing as I listen to you talk about this book is that it's probably just as much of an easy read as well as the previous book we spoke about. It sounds like
yeah, it is.
That you've got it laid out really, really nicely.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I know especially myself, I'm more of an auditory learner, and I've been conditioned to listen to things like podcasts, or when I do read, I enjoy reading something that's quick and straightforward. That's why I like reading blog posts. And so if I'm going to read a book, I get a little discouraged when I see that, I don't know, it's 250 pages or even sometimes it's 180 pages. So if I look at it and say, oh, it's 80 pages and I can knock it out in the course of an hour, or I can flip around and go to the part that really affects me, then it just makes it easier. And so I laid it out in such a way that you can go through. It's actually somewhat of a workbook because there are actually pages within the book where you can fill out some of the elements that were talked about in that chapter. So it really is a quick read. And both of the books are available on Amazon. And also on my website at devindabney.com.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Now, you've got more. You've got a podcast as well. So now I'm going to ask you how you started, or how did you begin your podcast about homeschooling, and what inspired you to start your podcast?
Well, being that I listened to hours and hours of podcasts, I actually looked at the Stitcher radio app that I use, and probably since, I'd say, a little over a year ago, I probably listened to close to 600 hours of podcasts. And, I mean, I listen to podcasts when I'm washing dishes, when I'm cutting the grass, when I'm taking a walk at work, when I'm sitting there working on a website, just pretty much all the time. Whenever I'll turn on a podcast. And one of the formats that really stuck out to me was interviews, because it's one thing if you hear someone talking from their perspective all the time, but which that can be great, but it's another thing when you find a show that brings on great guests. That's one of the formats that I really enjoy. So I said, well, if nothing else, I can start a podcast. I can invite some people to be guests on the podcast, and if nothing else, I'll actually have an opportunity to speak to these people and meet new people, and that's exactly been my experience with it, and one of the greatest things about it has been some of the feedback that I've gotten. I actually had a friend that I've met online who's a dad and has, I believe, 2 young children, and he was considering homeschooling and just really concerned about socialization, and every time I release a new episode, he'd just soak it up and listen to everything, and after 3 or 4 weeks, he was just like, all of my doubts about homeschooling and socialization are just blown away. I mean, that's not even a concern anymore. We're definitely going to do it. And so to get feedback like that, or hear that people that I didn't even know were listening, were blessed by a certain episode or a certain guest that we had on, that's priceless to me. And I've been able to meet so many people such as yourself. So it's a great benefit, and I'm just glad to do it each week.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's definitely encouraging to know that other people are inspired by what you're bringing to the table. And just, I think it's a win-win for everybody. I think those who are listening are receiving the motivation they need, and their doubts are being diminished about home education as you just kind of like a virtual coach, really, just even in presenting your interviews. And it's just very helpful to people. And then it's a win situation as a fellow podcaster. I kind of understand that it's kind of a win-win for us too, because we're learning so much just by producing the podcast, interviewing other people. It kind of feels like we're on a quest for learning and like an adventure, because each of our guests has so much to offer, and you can glean from each of them. And I'm assuming that's how it is for you too.
Yes, and I learn about so many people, and then I interview one person, and then they say, oh, well, maybe you should interview this person. And it's just
right.
People that I may have, I don't know, probably never dreamed of contacting. For one, I didn't really have any excuse to contact them. it just changes the relationship. And when you say, hey, I have this interview, I have this podcast, and I'd love to interview you on my show, it just seems people are really open to that, and they're willing to get on the phone with you or email you or send you a Facebook message. And this opens doors that I didn't imagine. And then another benefit, which hopefully you're having the same benefit, is sometimes your guests will they'll send you some of their products or give you some of their services as just a bonus for you taking time and interviewing them. Yeah, you just get all these benefits, and something that I didn't know at first. But I'm learning so many things, and even people that I thought I knew quite well, when I interviewed them, I learned so many interesting things. Even a guest that I'm featuring this week went to a nanny school and actually applied to be a nanny with some famous people. And it's like, who would even thought anything like that? But you find out
right.
Over the course during an interview.
Right. You just learn so much about people and their experiences and what they bring to the table. And I've learned a lot just talking to, I guess, experts is what I'd like to call it, subject experts, just talking to people that actually know a lot about their passion and their interest. And it's really been helpful to me in my homeschooling journey and really growing myself individually. So that's one reason I love podcasting, and I'll probably start a whole new podcast just about that, because I love podcasting. But do you have any additional resources that you provide in addition to your book and your podcast that maybe you'd like to point our listeners to?
Well, mainly just the Facebook community. It's really a way to reach me and possibly reach some other people who are listening. I have a Facebook community for my podcast, and people can find it on Facebook if they just search for Connected Homeschooling. And I generally just post some announcements there, and I'm open to answering questions. And then sometimes if I have enough advance notice, I'll post about upcoming guests, and that way they have the opportunity there to post their questions and questions that they like me to ask the guests when I do the interview. So it's a really easy way to connect with me there. And then also on my blog, devindabney.com, people can subscribe and just be notified whenever I release a new post. And that's more of just a personal space for me to just write about different things. But we've definitely had some great topics and conversations that happen there. And usually that's where I place some announcements about interesting things like new books or ideas that I have as well.
Okay, awesome. So Connected Homeschooling, is that .com?
Yes.
Okay, so ConnectedHomeschooling.com, and then also on Facebook, search under Connected Homeschooling, and DevinDabney.com. So this is where they'll find all information about you and your personal life, and some updates also on what you're doing in your other spaces online. So that's great. Now, all of this information is going to be in our show notes today on today's episode. And so you'll find all of the links there that we've discussed today with Devin. And so thank you, Devin, for being a part of this podcast today. Tell your family I said hello. And just thank them for allowing me to take a few minutes of your time today. I really, really appreciate your being here today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.